It's cool. I like it.
It's the greatest thing ever.
What is it again?
It's called the Delta Emulator. So for the longest time, the iOS App Store did not allow any sort of emulators in there. Now, emulators are technically legal.
Really? I didn't know that.
And the ROMs are also like a legal gray area. You're supposed to really, like, the only way it's completely above board is if you rip the games you own already.
Ah, okay.
But like, you know,
everybody just downloads.
They're
the
out there. They're free. They're abundant. So there's now this Delta emulator where you can play anything from original Nintendo all the way up to N64. And you can play N64 pretty flawlessly.
That's awesome.
On your phone. It's amazing.
It's a free app?
Completely free. And then the ROMs are free as well. And I'm not going to tell you the sites, but all you got to do is hit the game you want and ROM, and then that site will have a bunch of different ones.
Damn, that's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, you just showed that to me, the controls, and they were sick.
Yeah, dude. The 64 controls are great, but like I've played some different Super Nintendo games. Sega Genesis is on its way, but you can't get it unless you're like a Patreon member yet.
Oh, okay.
And then I have played some original Pokemon.
Really?
So I played it a lot as a kid, but I haven't played any Pokemon whatsoever since like the sixth grade.
Did it take you right back?
It did.
To when you were, were you Gas Boy? What was your name back then?
The Gas Man.
The Gas.
That was about third grade. Oh, okay. So I had already outgrown Gas Man.
Gotcha. Okay. So you're on your way to Pokeballs at that point.
Yeah. We all were back at that age. It came out when I was what, like 10, 11 years old?
So that shows you how crazy things change, how like rapidly, because how old are you?
I am 35, almost 36.
Okay. So I'm 39. In that short amount of time, Pokemon was like for like little kids by the time it came out. Like that's how quickly you grow is like in that age range, you know? You're like, that's not cool. That's for little kids. And you're just like 3 or 4 years behind.
Yeah, dude. I mean, it came out when I was at like the perfect age. And like there's been repeated different generations of Pokemon.
Yeah.
I never played Generation 2 at all. I couldn't tell you one Pokemon past Generation 1. So like I that quickly grew out of it as well.
Like I would have said to you back there, like, you're such a nerd for playing that while I still own Magic the Gathering cards.
I never played Magic. That's one that I never did.
Dude. Loved that shit.
And a lot of people I know loved it. And you're about Kyle Hornhorse age.
Yeah.
And so like he was all about Magic as well. So I think that was your Pokemon.
Yeah. And then, then Pokemon took over.
Yeah.
Then they both got big. Like at simultaneously for a very long time.
And then now like they're back to being enormous. Like Logan Paul walks out and fights with like $1 million Pokemon card around his neck.
Which, by the way, I think people have said is fake.
Is it?
He got on that
damn,
purchase.
Damn, that's hilarious.
Yeah, it was a really good fake, I guess.
I am both rooting for him and like hating him at the same time. I never know how to feel about the Paul brothers.
Is he the one fighting Mike Tyson?
No,
it's
Jake Paul, I think. No, I could be. Yeah, no, it is Jake Paul.
Did you see the rules for it? So it's actually going to be a sanctioned bout. It's going to count towards professional records. The 8 2-minute rounds is, I mean, but whatever. I feel like Mike Tyson probably gassed out pretty bad.
He is very old.
But no headgear, right? And there's knockouts. So like, there's a legitimate shot that Mike Tyson could kill a Paul brother.
There's a legitimate shot that this is finally a real fight for that kid.
Yeah.
Because I feel like all of them are fixed.
They have seemed very fixed. I mean, he did lose one though.
Yeah, but like that was versus fucking Fury's brother. Yeah. And I could see them allowing that to use the Fury name of like, okay, we got to make this seem real. We're going to give him one. Now, this is all just conspiracy theory in my head and just all gut. I have no evidence. But that's just how I feel.
A lot of them felt very fake.
Yeah.
It felt like those guys were paid not to really go hard at him.
Yeah. Like, and I could see he fought a lot of MMA fighters
besides
who never
Nate
really
Robinson.
Got a bag.
Nate Robinson was funny when he knocked that dude out.
Yeah. Nate Robinson's a freak.
By the way, Pound Town Podcast, Will Burge, Brian Kenny.
Yeah.
Powered by Live Mixtapes. We are at West Bank Golf Club, and they're redoing the cocktail menu he was just telling us.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's stuff. Like, I don't know if I'm not allowed to talk about that, but you get the inside info here on Pound Town Podcast. And they're going to do like a whole cocktail menu and new glassware for you fancy folks out there.
Yeah, baby.
I'm a big fancy cocktail guy, as you know.
They got scotch for me, he told me.
Really?
It's very sweet people here.
They're fantastic.
Yes. Really, I love this place.
Great, great people.
I don't even fucking golf. I love this place.
Dude, and the best part about it is like, you know, you think like, oh, indoor golf place, but they like roll up the garage door. This is just like a dope ass bar all summer. So
yeah, dude, there's Papa Shot. There's a million big TVs. There's a pool table.
Yep. Darts.
A bar. There's a lot to do.
And then those simulators, you can play zombie dodgeball. You can kick field goals.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, dude, you can play zombie dodgeball in those things.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it is pretty awesome. So definitely come check out West Bank Golf Club. We didn't do a pod last week. I was traveling and I fucked up and we should have done one before I left, but I'm an idiot. And then completely could not figure out the time change to save my life for 3 straight days, and I'm still adjusting back.
Yeah, it's disorienting.
It shouldn't be, though. It's just 3 hours.
Yeah, well, you're also an idiot.
I am an idiot. That's true. I had something happen on that trip that I've been biting my tongue in the group text.
Yeah, I got
about
a little teaser today.
Yeah, so we'll get to that story in a little bit. But we are going to talk some Guardies. How do you want to approach the Cavs? Because the Cavs game will happen after we record. It's about to happen in about an hour and a half.
I think we should very rightfully react to the last two fucking games.
Okay.
And discuss it in that matter.
Okay, let's do that. Why don't we start there?
Okay.
Let's start there. Fair enough. Because you are a self-admitted casual when it comes to this season in particular.
Yes. I'd say I probably around 15 or so games I watched this year of the regular season. So not by no means a diehard.
And how did you feel? You sent me a very angry text after that.
Dude. Yeah. Furious. Because like I didn't realize I scheduled like a therapy on Saturday. And I'm fucking at 2 o'clock. So I'm watching the game.
You also wouldn't have known it was going to be a brunch game. They just got fucking two brunch
games. What the fuck is that, by the way?
Nobody wants to watch this garbage.
Not only are we getting Saturday brunch games, but also the other games are only on Bally's. Is that what I'm understanding?
I don't know.
I couldn't find them anywhere else.
I just kept watching them. It's Bally's and NBA TV, but I heard NBA TV was blacked out here or something.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
Dude, they got to get that shit straightened out.
For the playoffs?
It's crazy.
Jesus Christ. I mean, it's not like it's some, you know, it hasn't been the best of basketball, but it's a 4-5 matchup.
Maybe it fell under cruel and unusual punishment after they watched game one and how terrible the offense was.
Man.
I mean, the Cavs have looked god awful the last two games. They've looked, they look pussy, I think is the best way to put it. I mean, they look like they're getting punked again, just like last year. They look out of sorts. I don't know if you heard of the Brian Windhorst interview today on 950. Dude, he did a full half hour. I mean, basically tearing JB Bickerstaff to shreds, that there's zero adjustments being made. They've taken away Donovan Mitchell, who, which by the way, I agree with you, he can't only have 13 shots in a game. That's unacceptable. But they've done a good job of taking him away, and there's nothing else happening on the court. Like, you take him away, they just die.
Real quick, before I get to that, I'll finish what I started. I go into therapy at 2 p.m. It's halftime. They're up 9. And, like, I put my phone away as I'm watching it in the fucking waiting room. I go into the back room for 55 minutes. I come out there down 20 fucking 5 points.
Crazy.
That's what I text you. I'm like, dude, what happened? And what did I miss?
Orlando's one of the worst offenses, not just in the playoffs, but in the NBA. They were like a lower third offense. They shouldn't be able to outscore you by that much in one quarter ever.
And it's not Banchero. No. Banchero didn't torch you. It was Franz Wagner.
Yeah.
Franz Wagner murdered you. It's
God,
embarrassing.
I hate that guy so much, too. He's everything I hate. He's just a big, lanky, like douchey, Grouch. Foreign white guy. I hate everything about him. I hate him so much.
He destroyed the Cavs. And yes, I think Donovan Mitchell is somehow not getting the kind of criticism that a star should. Any superstar that only takes 14 shots in a game that where you're getting destroyed, 0 points in the second half, 31 points over the past two games, that's completely unacceptable.
It really is.
If this was LeBron James, he would be getting destroyed.
The problem with this is everybody kind of knew that Donovan Mitchell isn't the guy who can carry you to a championship. So you were supposed to have this core that allowed him to play freely and then other guys could pick up a slack. I don't know if you saw the side-by-side of Darius Garland's stats versus 2019 Mo Williams. Mo Williams is better at pretty much across the board.
Ugh.
That is insane to think about when we just a year ago believed he was a key piece to what was going to happen here in Cleveland. He was even if Donovan Mitchell goes, by that time Darius Garland will be developed to the point where he could take over. That motherfucker looks like a rotation player now.
Yeah, dude. I remember like Steph Curry was shouting him out and people were saying they see a lot of Steph in him.
There's still a lot of positives, but he gets taken out of his game. He makes way too many turnovers late in the game. He's very easily pushed around on the perimeter. And if he doesn't have room to just do pull-up threes, which is one of the best pull-up three-point shooters in the NBA, I think he's like sixth in pull-up three-point percentage, he's lost out there. And Suggs has got them. Suggs is eating them alive on the perimeter. And then they take Jared Allen out of the game, and their scoring, like their offensive rating, plummets. Like I think Windhorst said it today, it's basically like taking prime LeBron James off the floor, but it's Jared fucking Allen. That's not how it should be. Jared Allen's just he's a finisher. He's not an offense. You know what I mean?
Yes.
And the second he comes off the floor, your entire offense goes to shit. you know, I don't think Evan Mobley's actually been that terrible in this series. We all know he hasn't taken the leap that we've wanted, but like collectively, that not a single thing has gone right. JB Bickerstaff's been terrible. Donovan Mitchell's been way too passive. Darius Garland's been dog shit. Jared Allen isn't allowed to ever go off the floor, apparently. Strus and fucking Yang are awful.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. I have a feeling tonight they're going to win this game, and maybe this all sounds stupid tomorrow, but even if they do, the writing is on the wall that this is not a correct structure for a team. People on the NBA have been saying it for over a year. JB Bickerstaff is definitely not the correct coach for it either way. There is going to be major reconstruction on this team this offseason, no matter what happens from here on out of the playoffs.
You got fucking stomped by 40, and then you only lost by 23 in the next game, but that was from, you know, merciful ending of the game. At the end, there's some garbage time points, but they could have kept the foot on the gas and beat us by at least 30.
Did you see Kobe Altman got one third place GM of the year vote? That had to have been someone in Cleveland media, right? There's no way. Who the fuck would give that guy a GM of the year? Because right now, every move he's made in the last 12 months looks awful. They look really, really bad right now.
Yeah, I remember there was a point a couple months ago where we were talking about how great it was and the study they did about spacing and about volume shooters and what that does to the rest of the offense. And like at this point, everything is just erased. And if you don't win tonight by a minimum of 20 points, then even if you win tonight, the things that we say today don't sound stupid. You are still in the fucking doghouse.
Yeah, I mean, even if they win by 20, like I said, I still think they're going to win this series. Not to just take them 7 games. I still think they're going to win this series. But I mean, you have, even with Porzingis out, I have zero confidence that they can even win a game against Boston. And you now would basically have wasted all of the tenure that you have with Donovan Mitchell. And if this offseason he goes, I'm not signing the extension, you got to shop him for a trade because that's just how it goes.
Yeah,
you
know but what I mean? Honestly, like it. Okay. So if this guy in this series does what he has the last 2 games and doesn't take over a single fucking game in this playoffs, then is it a waste of Donovan Mitchell? Was Donovan Mitchell that good enough to say we wasted Donovan Mitchell years? Or was he just another guy?
No, I mean, he's better than another guy, but he's not a top 5 to top 7 superstar. Because
he sucked in the playoffs last year. And he sucked in the playoffs this year.
And he got his lunch eaten by Jalen Brunson when he was in Utah, when Brunson was in Dallas. I mean, he really struggles with physical guards on the outside, and Suggs is just beating the fuck out of him.
Okay,
right
then
now.
Why are we worried about the fucking Donovan Mitchell area? Why is he worthy of us we wasted a good player? We didn't waste a superstar if this is how he plays in the playoffs.
I understand what you're saying, but think about the last time when LeBron left and you had 2 top 4 picks, both ended up being good players, and the team was still dog shit until Donovan Mitchell got here. Because those type of players just don't end up in Cleveland. It is very unfortunate. You're only going to get them through trade, and that's why they mortgaged a ton to bring Donovan Mitchell here in the first place. But it was always with the understanding that, look, we got all this other young talent that's about to blossom. They're right there ready to go. And none of it has happened except for Jared Allen. Jared Allen is playing phenomenal basketball.
Has Donovan Mitchell held back the development of those other players?
Probably Darius Garland?
Because this team went on some really nice runs without Donovan Mitchell. And there were times
they also
where
did
we
that
were
without
all...
Darius Garland, too, though.
Yeah, true.
You know what I mean? I just think it's just a flawed roster. You have 2 small guards. You have 2 non-shooting bigs. 2 things you just can't have in the NBA. And you're doubled up at each position. And then you have a coach who just literally cannot make adjustments to save his life. And it's always been the book on JB Bickerstaff.
Call me fucking crazy, man. But like, how much we loved these young kids before the Donovan Mitchell era, I would have been much happier seeing that team grow and, you know, fight in the play-in games than seeing a superstar holding us hostage, underperforming.
I don't agree with you, but it's very hard to make an argument against it, is what I'd say to that. I mean, you're right. This looks as bad as it possibly could look. But the only way this could be worse, and actually it wouldn't be, I would say if there was like major injuries because you just couldn't evaluate it. But even then, the clock would still be ticking. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
This is the team. This is it. They don't have assets either. They get a first round, like they finally have a first round pick back, I believe, after they get through this season. Maybe you can do something with that, but I mean, you're going to have to carve into the core of this team to make them better. That means the guy with the highest value is Jared Allen. So you're going to get rid of the guy right now. When you take him off the court, your entire offense goes to dog shit. You better get a haul back for that guy. You know what I mean? So
yeah.
you know, and then now, and rightly so, and I'm not one of those people, but rightly so, people are now going, fuck it, let's try to get LeBron back here. And I know people are like, can't believe they're saying that, blah, blah, blah. They haven't put a fucking small forward on this team since LeBron left the first time. We've never had a small forward on the team. Yeah. The entire league is built around small forwards. We've never had one. It's fucking insane to me. And, you know, I know they're not that easy to come by, but I would just keep drafting them. Just keep fucking drafting them until you hit on somebody, right? I don't know. It's very frustrating. And it's looking like...
Would you say that's what Banchero is, or is he technically a power forward?
I think he's technically a power forward, but he does play like a wing.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? His face-up game isn't as strong, but, dude, he strokes the three fine. You know what I mean?
Dude, he's been impressive so far. He's very good. For a fucking 6'10 guy.
Mm-hmm. Very, very good. Banchero is a problem. One of the best young players in the NBA. He's one of those guys in a couple years, you're going to look back and be like, man, this league's filled with superstars. The Ant Edwards, who is just tearing it apart right now.
He has been phenomenal because I actually have watched a lot of NBA playoffs so far.
And he's been awesome.
So fucking good. And then Jamal Murray.
Jamal Murray just doesn't miss a clutch shot ever.
What? He floats.
Yeah.
That like step back fadeaway floating shot. Like what is this? And how are you so good at it?
And it's crazy because every regular season he's Jamal Murray, doesn't make any all-NBA teams, never makes an all-star team. Every playoffs rolls around, this dude just rips teams' hearts out every fucking round.
He's an animal.
He is. He is. They're fun to watch. And you know, they made waste of the Lakers. Lakers. Yeah. You know, they're in another, but whatever. I don't really give a fuck about talking about the Lakers. But the Cavs are in a not a very good position right now. It's unfortunate.
It is hilarious for people to be like, well, you bring back LeBron and then you draft Bronny. It's like, guys, is this kid an NBA player?
Yeah, who knows?
He is.
I mean, he's going to get drafted.
Yeah. Right?
He's 100% going to get drafted.
To sell some tickets. Yeah. But like, is he actually going to play?
I mean, the book on him is that he's already an NBA level defender. And that he's got a good enough jump shot to where he could be like a 3-and-D guy. And if that's what you're getting, shit, if you draft a 3-and-D guy in the second round, that's fine. This guy's made a lot of money, right? But how much of that is just guys going, he's LeBron's kid, so he's probably going to be really good. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Has he grown at all? Isn't he only still 6'3"?
I have no idea, to be honest.
He's going to be a Steph Curry-heighted guy? That's not...
But he had to have grown some because there's no way that... I don't even think he'd be getting drafted. Let's look it up here. Everybody hang in there while we look this up.
That Bryce is the one that... He's got the size.
How tall is Bronny?
Bronny James.
He's 6'4". Yeah, so I mean...
Okay, he's got 1 inch.
Yeah. Point guard, shooting guard. You know, he'd be basically like an Okoro, but if he, with a... I'd say a better shot, even though Okoro's had a really good year. So, I don't know. You know, but I would draft Isaac Okoro over again if it attracted LeBron James. You know what I mean? If LeBron was like, I'm only going where fucking Isaac Okoro goes. There'd be a lot of teams looking to get Isaac Okoro. It changes your viewpoint of those guys pretty quickly. Yeah,
absolutely.
We're going to get to Guardies because I know you're excited to talk about it. Yeah. They have been so much fun. But I got to tell you a couple stories about Cali.
Okay.
I was out there for 5 days. First of all, I did the Comedy Store in La Jolla, which was awesome.
Yeah.
Great night. Set went great. I was texting you afterwards. I fucked up a punchline, but I don't even know if anybody else would have even noticed. It was one of those nights you're just red hot and the room's hot and everything went great.
Yeah.
Met some other really great comics. There were some down from LA, a couple San Diego people, and that all went really well. Met a young lady. It's good too.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was good. The best part about that was I hung out with this girl for literally basically 2 days. And then she was like, we should go out Saturday night. I'm like, all right, because I did the Thursday night Best of San Diego showcase. Uh-huh. And we hung out that night, hung out on Friday. She's like, let's go get dinner or something on Saturday. I'm like, you know what? Fuck it. I'll just pretend like I'm dating this girl for a couple days, whatever. And I texted her. She didn't answer. So I'm like, all right, no big deal. And then on her Instagram story, she posted her and her boyfriend. And I was like, you dirty bitch, dude.
Didn't she invite you to go see her family?
No. Oh, yeah. Well, yes. And then I was like... It had to have been the alcohol. Like, you know what I mean? It was there was a whole excitement that was building around this.
I was praying that would actually come to fruition, that you would be some sort of Wedding Crashers-like guest.
Which would have been awesome.
Yeah.
I would have 100% had way better stories than I have right now. Oh,
that'd be awesome.
But anyway, so that was just a nice little nugget from it. But so that was fun. Friday night, like I said, hang out with her or whatever. Saturday, I worked all day. Was planning on going to hang out with her in LA. That doesn't happen. So I'm like, all right, I'm just going to go get some dinner. And was like feeling it. I'm like, you know, this is, you know, I'm going to go get a drink at this dive bar. So I looked up, I found this dope ass fucking dive bar called Johnny's Saloon. If you're ever in Huntington Beach, it's like probably 10 minutes off the beach, but it's like, think old 86, but California style. It's like a rock, punk rock bar, like, and they have the only good pizza I've ever had in Southern California. It was phenomenal pizza.
Pizza's bad in Southern California?
So bad.
Interesting.
Multiple things. It's the elevation. It's the tomatoes on that coast. They're a different sweetness. Okay. And then it's just a lot of people don't know how to make pizza. They're making it. It's just bad. Most of it's bad pizza. So great pizza. But anyway, I'm sitting there. And the reason I had a slice, I'm sitting there just having a drink. And a couple people sit down next to me. And they order a pizza. And the dude's like, hey, man, you want a slice? We're not going to eat all this. And I'm like, you know what? Yeah, I do want to try it. Whatever. So I eat it. We start shooting the shit. There are a couple dudes and a couple chicks that like live in that area. And me and this dude are just hitting it off, bullshitting, whatever. And he gets a text. And he's like, oh, shit, look at this. Because we were talking about EDC. I'm talking about like EDM festivals and shit.
Oh, of course.
And he's like, look at this. And it was a text for a pop-up rave in LA.
Okay.
And he's like, these things are awesome, blah, blah, blah. You get 90 minutes notice. The first hour is free, and then the lines are like crazy. I'm like, how many people go to these? It's like a lot, bro, a lot. And I'm like, and this is just in a warehouse somewhere? He's like, yeah. And I'm like, I can't imagine. I think you're overselling it, right? You're definitely overselling the experience of this. I've seen the movie Go. Remember Go?
Yeah.
That's there's no way it's that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And he's like, I'm telling you, bro. It's what it is. And they're all like, I think we're going to go. Do you want to go? And I'm like, you know what? I've learned on the road when opportunities are presented to you, sometimes you just take them.
You say yes to life.
Say yes to life. So I'm like, you know what? Fuck it. I'm going with you guys. So we go to their house. Instantly, everybody drops out, putting me in the one dude I was kicking up. And I'm like, you know what? I'm already in. Let's just go.
Just went on a date to a rave.
Just went on a date to a rave with a Mexican man who I didn't know.
Yeah.
When I tell you, first of all, this was the wildest shit I've maybe ever been in my entire life.
Really?
It was I'll show you a video in a moment. It was insane. Two, it was definitely the most dangerous situation I've probably ever put myself in.
Yeah, you could have been trafficked or harvested.
I was the only white person.
Really?
I didn't know Mexican cholos love techno music.
I had no idea.
I mean, dude, this place was all face tattoos and dicky pants.
Nobody thought you were white, though.
No, definitely thought I was Asian, yeah. For sure. But I was wearing a hat that just said Ohio on it. So I was a target.
I'm a white man.
I'm a very white person. So, dude, we get in there and it is insane. There is tons of very hot girls in there. But it looks like the scene in Training Day when they pull into the projects and they're just like, you know what I mean? Like, you know what I'm talking about, that scene? That's what it looked like. So I'm in there. It's going nuts. We're like talking to these girls and shit. I'm like, dude, I need a water. It's so hot in this place. And they had like a bar. They had security. I mean, this was like a legit concert, like a pop-up concert.
No shit.
And apparently the DJs were big. I don't know who the fuck they were. So I go to get, I'm waiting in line to get the water. I get these two. I got two waters. I'm like, I need some air. I step outside and I look at the clock and it's like 4 something in the morning.
Really?
Like, dude, we didn't even go to like 2:30 or something.
Jesus.
It was like 1:45. I don't know. It was late. And I'm like, dude, I should just get out of here. And so it was one of those like devil in one shoulder angel. I'm like, I don't even have this guy's number. I just have his Instagram. I don't even know how to get a hold of him. I don't know where he's at in this place. There's literally probably 1,000 people in this warehouse. I'm like, I should just go. He lives here. He'll be able to get home.
Yeah.
He'll be fine. You know, he's in his mid-30s. He's fine. I start to walk around. I realize very quickly, I have no idea where we parked. And for miles in every direction, it's just homeless camps.
Oh,
and
God.
I mean scary homeless camps. Like, I don't know who's giving them campers, but they have lots of campers.
What?
Just run down campers with tent cities built off of them, lots of bicycles. And the only quote unquote normal people you'd run into on every corner every once in a while would be like 6 cholos standing around a lowrider drinking Coronas with a couple chicks.
Dude, it sounds very dystopian. Like I watched Fallout. That's what I did this weekend. And it sounds like Fallout minus the nuclear war.
Dude, I think you know me well enough to know I don't ever really get intimidated or nervous in situations. Uh-huh. I was freaking the fuck out.
Yeah.
And then I can't find the rave now. Now I'm like, I'm just walking through this wasteland. I'm like, I have to like follow the in the distance. Finally
Let
get
the
all the way back.
Be your guy.
Finally get all the way back over there. And I just DM'd the dude on Instagram. I'm like, yo, I got to get the fuck out of here. It's too late. I got to work in the morning, blah, blah, blah. He was so cool though. He's like, instantly was like, dude, yeah, let's go. Whatever. Call me. I've wait for him. He gets outside. Thank God this dude knows the area.
You couldn't call an Uber?
It was 45 minutes away from where I was staying.
Oh, no.
So I'm like, I would have had to Uber It was like an $80 Uber back to my hotel. Then I would have had an $80 Uber back to my car the next day, which, by the way, don't know where it's at. And I wouldn't even be able to ask that dude where it was at because he would have hated me because I left him in fucking LA at a rave.
Oh, wait. So you drove there?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, yeah. I didn't understand that part.
Yeah. So, and it's a rental car. I don't even, I barely even know what this thing looks like. You know what I mean? So I'm like, dude, this is just a terrible situation. He led us straight to the car. We went back. I dropped him off. I ate so much Jack in the Box. So much Jack. I got tacos. I got egg rolls. And I was just sitting there thankful.
What time did you have to be at work?
It wasn't until noon, so it wasn't bad. And I actually got, I stopped drinking way earlier than I, like, before I even, like, that, when I met that dude, I was having a beer, but I hadn't drank in probably 2 hours before that. I was, like, just going to go home. I was going to get up in the early morning, go to the gym and shit. And instead, I went to a rave until...
There you go.
God only knows what fucking time.
Like a responsible 39-year-old man.
Like a responsible 39-year-old man. There was moments where I'm looking around, I'm like, what am I doing here? But here's it on.
Jesus Christ.
Shit. Look how many fucking people are there. Hold on. Wait till I pan the camera. First of all, dropping Vince's is awesome.
Yeah.
Let's see the production of this show.
Oh, jeez. How did...
There's LED, like, LED things across the whole ceiling, and apparently they set these up in a day and tear them down that night and leave and go somewhere else.
Good Lord.
And they're just always in, like, a place where you'll probably die.
How much does it cost to get in?
I think the tickets are, like, 25. We got there when it was free. I think they're like, $25 to get in. There was...
Okay.
I mean, there had to have been 1,000 people.
1,000 people with $25 a pop. Damn.
And then outside when we left, there was a line wrapped 3 blocks, dude. It was crazy. Off-duty cops everywhere, like monitoring traffic.
Good Lord. I was pacifiers, people sucking on pacifiers?
No, because it was like all cholos. It wasn't even rave people. It was, that was the part I didn't get about it. It was like hot Spanish and Asian, a lot of Asians, Spanish and Asian girls, and then just cholos and like black dudes with the long braided hairs like you see in every like Snoop Dogg video. You know what I mean? Like, you know what I'm talking about? Like, they there's like 80 of those guys. They were all walking around. And then some guys who were quite obviously drug dealers.
All right.
And then me in my,
and then you,
in my Ohio hat. Just looking like
I'm from Ohio.
Like a fucking Target, dude. Yeah, that's what I did. Just being a mature adult. That's great.
You got the story.
I did. It's always for the plot. You know what I mean? It's got to bring something back to the pod.
Still wish you went to that girl's parents' house, but this is pretty good.
Yeah, that would have been much, much better. It would have probably been a funnier story.
Oh man.
But nowhere near as dangerous.
Yeah.
This girl is rich, by the way, too, and lives, and I looked up her neighborhood. It's a very, very rich neighborhood. It's just an actress, quote unquote. I was telling my friend back here. I was like, I was hanging out with an actress last night. She's like, what? She's got an OnlyFans. She's an actress. She probably does have an OnlyFans. All right, let's get to Guardies. We got to do it.
So excited for it.
I was sitting next to a guy Sunday. At a place called HQ. It's right on the beach in Huntington Beach. Highly recommend that as well. Very cool bar, sports bar, bunch of TVs. He was a Sox fan, a Red Sox fan, and I'm a Guardians fan. He's watching his game. I'm watching my game. He's so excited that they're just hovering around 500 and knocking some teams off and stuff. And I was like, wow, I would have actually probably been excited about that for the Guardians as well.
Oh, yeah.
This is so far and above that. It's fucking amazing.
Dude, I mean, I don't know how sustainable this is. Because, I mean, a big piece of the pilot puzzle is going to be Gavin Williams and the way that he comes back.
Yeah.
Because the starting pitching, I just don't see Ben Lively being this phenomenal lights-out starter that he has been. Because we faced the best lineup in baseball. They're a very, very good team overall. They don't have Spencer Strider, which is a big hit to them. But overall, their pitching is still solid. But the lineup is crazy. And Acuna not being hot or not. It doesn't matter. We went in there and, yes, probably our best starter right now faced them at one point and fucking nailed it.
Yeah.
I've been saying the kid's a gamer. He hasn't had the best start of the season, but goddamn, 7 innings, 9 strikeouts, no earned runs. Fuck, that's
Bobby
awesome.
Bobby looks like an ace. Yeah.
Fucking awesome. But then you've got Logan Allen, who is supposed to be our number 5. And then you have Ben Lively, who nobody saw.
Off the trash heap.
Yeah, he was literally off the trash heap. Nobody saw playing in the majors this year. Ben Lively comes in, gives you what he needs to. God damn, we went toe-to-toe with the best team in baseball, and we looked
Who's
every bit the part.
Scoring like 7 runs a game, by the way.
We looked every bit the fucking part.
Yeah. I think we've said in the group text, and we might even say the last pod, but the The coolest thing to me is that it's looking more and more like last year was the outlier.
Yes.
And these dudes are just fucking gamers.
Absolutely. These kids, they're dedicated. Like they're here to fucking drive teams crazy. I don't know what the hell happened at the end of Sunday's game. I was actually doing yard work, so I listened to the whole game. I didn't get to see it, but from what I understand, it was, you know, some couple little league plays pretty much of Quan trying to time things out, maybe using the pitch clock or whatever, getting picked off, and then Jose not sliding. I don't understand that at all.
Yeah.
He's the ultimate hustle guy. I can't see him not doing it unless he thought for sure that he wasn't going to get tagged out. I don't get that, but
yeah, I didn't see all that. I read about it on Twitter and people were bitching about it. But I mean, it's hard to bitch about anything Jose does when that two play sequence, what day was that? Saturday? When he legged out a double, right? How'd it go? Or no, he slid way outside the tag.
Uh-huh.
I'm trying to remember the sequence. And there was something else right after. It was like, there was just two straight hustle heart plays that I think is what makes this team who they are.
You know I had I mean? To listen to a lot this weekend, so I didn't get to see it either.
Dude, I mean, this the way he's so annoying to play against, I'm sure, for other teams. You're just like, that guy shouldn't be that good. And he's just, you know, it's like a Tuesday night. Other teams are like, you know, it's, you know, middle of the season. We're really just getting going. And Jose's playing like it's game fucking seven yes. all the time.
Yeah, you never question Jose's desire, his heart, his hustle. So I just don't understand what happened. But whatever. Moving on, it's still Jose.
Yeah.
Whatever. Hunter Gaddis had zero earned runs heading into this series. I've been hyping him up big time, and I'm still not off the Hunter Gaddis train by any means. It does say something that this is his childhood team. He grew up, 10, 20 miles from Atlanta. Like, he was a Braves fan his whole life, and he goes in and he has two earned run outings. They hit him hard. Hopefully he's not tipping pitches,
yeah,
because they were barreling up fucking everything from what I've seen. And I don't know. I still think he's going to be the eighth inning guy, but Scott fucking Barlow in extra innings. I did definitely get to watch this after my show on Saturday. Scott Barlow comes in, bases loaded. He loads the bases and one ground out, throws it home, gets the guy. Fucking two strikeouts after that with some nasty breaking balls.
Yeah. I don't know. I like the cut of their jib.
Absolutely.
That's how I'll say it.
It's so much fun.
Yeah, they're a lot of fun. Vogt's pressing all the right buttons right now, pulling all the right levers. Look, there's going to be a slide somewhere, right? You just, like you said, this is just not a sustainable clip that they're playing at.
No.
Not with the talent. And this is no offense to the guys on this team, because I do think there's a lot more talent than we, or especially outside of here, but definitely even us, gave them credit for. Because guys are bouncing back to where they're...
I still think this is a 90-win team. I am maintaining that. The slide will not prevent them from being a 90-win yeah. team, I still think. But right now, they're at a pace for like 110 wins.
Well, and that was what I was talking to that guy, the Red Sox fan, about. I was like, dude, there's people predicting that the winner of the Central could be at 500 or worse before the year.
Yeah.
Now, with our start and with a couple of the other teams' start, honestly, yeah. in the Central...
KC and Detroit have looked great.
Yeah, exactly. That's off the plate. I mean, the team that's winning the Central is going to be around 90 wins. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And there's no reason it can't be the Guardians, barring health, right? They just, like, I completely agree with you. Gavin Williams is going to be the key here. If he comes...
He's huge.
He comes back and he is a legit dominant starter, they're cooking with gas. You know what I mean?
Yes, and I really would like to see Manzardo.
Yeah, me too.
We all would, but... definitely want to see Manzardo sooner rather than later. We'll see what they actually do. But I mean, look at this. They've had two marquee series now, one with the Yankees, one with the Braves. They went toe to toe in both. Everybody wants to discount that Yankee series, but, you know, the one game they got blown out, the one game they won and it was tight at the end. And then the other one, they lost by one run. I mean, we've gone toe to toe with two of the top three teams in baseball.
Yeah.
Right now we're a top three team in baseball. It just, and I feel like the narrative is changing after this weekend, because I think a lot of the people that are really into the game watch that series, and, you know, Bleacher Report would post, you know, Guardians top team in baseball, and the comment section were just people shitting. Oh, you've played the A's twice.
They did have the softest schedule in baseball leading into these last couple of games.
Although, you know, another talking point people have been bringing up is, aside from playing the Guardians, the A's have been a 500 team.
Yeah.
So, but still, they are like the worst team in baseball. I'm not going to act like they're not. But after this series, the comments under the Guardians post have been like, this team is for real. That series was fire. They, you know, they gave the Braves hell. These kids are fun.
Yeah.
Keep this shit up, because this is awesome.
It really is awesome. This is, and you know, this almost goes back to your comment about the Cavs and what you would have more enjoyed to watch.
Yes.
This is that, right? If that would have extrapolated out and the youth on the Cavs would have kept progressing and they just became this annoying, really talented, out-hustle you team, that's what this Guardians team is.
Yes.
You know what I mean? There is no huge superstar besides Jose, even though he doesn't get the love around the league he should.
No.
He is a superstar, though. I mean, he legit is a superstar.
And people want to say, oh, you faced the Braves this weekend and Acuna wasn't playing well. Jose has not been playing at his peak by any means.
Nope.
He hasn't had the quickest start to the year, and that's fine. He's still serving a very important role, and other guys have been stepping up.
Speaking of baseball, so I was out there in Huntington Beach covering this tournament, one of our bigger tournaments at Perfect Game on the West Coast, and there is a team. So the 14U division is like loaded. They're all loaded with talent, obviously, but the 14U division has a couple really top-heavy teams. That's the class of 28. And they had this one team had 7 of the top 50 players in the country.
Jesus.
They are fucking stacked.
The Monstars.
Yeah. So if you, and if anybody out there like follows anything amateur baseball, they've heard the name Joel Vargas. Joel Vargas is one of the top prospects to come out in quite some time. And this is a kid who's just turned 15. You know what I mean? But these kids,
people are talking like, that much about a kid that just turned 15. Dude,
they don't look 15 or they are monsters. They are none of these kids. The one kid's like 6'4". On the team and just hits bombs. He's 14 years old, built like a man, grown ass man. These dudes are jacked. You know what I mean? They're like big tree trunk legs, like how power hitters have. Yeah. You know what I mean? I mean, it's a whole different level of baseball than like, dude, it's better than some minor league baseball I see, because these are the guys who get washed right through as they're the top prospects. You know what I mean? It was fucking really fun to watch. And they played a team in the championship that had 3 of the top 11 prospects their team. So that was a heavyweight fight, and they won 4-3. It was fucking awesome.
Who won 4-3?
The first team, the Monstars, yeah. They're called the Sports Academy Legends. I think they're out of LA. I can't remember. But, I mean, crazy, crazy baseball there. And
yeah, you can play year-round outdoors.
Yep. But the crazy part is, that kid I was talking about, Joel Vargas, he plays on that team, and he plays on the Canes 14 national team, which is... That team is ranked number 5 in the nation. I think the Canes team ranks number 7, and he plays on another top 10 team. He plays for 3 fucking top 10 teams.
Jesus.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's a little nuts to me. I hope, you know, hope the kid doesn't burn out, but I think once you're that, they all have agents. Like, they have agents at that age now. Like, because they are already on, dude, there's MLB scouts at these games.
Yeah.
I mean, it's the one kid when I was down in North Carolina is 14 years old, Chase Cotton out of Sacramento. He's sitting 92.
Jesus.
92 miles an hour just throwing gas and nasty breaking stuff too. And they had, you know, they had MLB scouts sitting there at the practices that they're at the scrimmages. It's pretty fucking nuts.
Those are metal bats though, right?
Yeah, but a lot of those tournaments now are turning to wood bats because of how good and big these kids are getting. They're pushing them into wood bats earlier because then teams get a more accurate depiction of.
Yeah.
Even though we regulate bats pretty well, we actually just banned a really big bat because it had too much bounce. Like a normal exit velocity was like average, like 106. The Bat Bros, some like fucking influencer, something were hitting up with regular bats that are like 106 exit velocity. They hit with this one, it was like 113. You're like, okay, well, there's something up with this bat.
Yeah.
I mean, this is not a normal.
Dude, I could imagine being a fucking parent and your kid is that good and like, you don't know if they're going to go get that big paycheck, but you're still shelling out money for wood bats that could break.
Yeah, dude. That would suck. And you have to deal with agents and you have to fly them all around the country. And like all this shit costs money, man. Like,
yeah, it does.
It's a wild world.
My parents didn't even want me to play hockey because of how much that shit cost.
Yeah, hockey is expensive.
And then having to get up that early for ice time.
Yeah.
You just my dad was like, nah, you're not doing that.
You'd probably better go. You have the hockey build too.
Do I?
Yeah. They're fucking huge. Every hockey player is gigantic. Tall.
I don't know.
Thick,
I'm only 6'1".
Muscular, handsome, beautiful eyes.
Thank you. You're a very sweet man. Got me feeling good about myself.
Well, you're a very sexy individual.
Thank you very much. I feel it. I feel like a sexy individual.
I think, do I have anything else? Oh, we have a date for the next Westel show.
Oh, sweet.
I didn't even ask you about it, so I don't know if you're available. You want to hear it right now?
Yeah.
Let's see what it is. It is... Oh, no, maybe I didn't switch it. Before I say this... I got to look up the text conversation because it switched back and forth a couple times. Wait for it. By the way, the last Westel show, fucking awesome.
Yes, it was.
That was maybe my favorite show ever there. Shout out to Jason Lawhead for coming through.
I went 10 minutes over my time.
You did go 10 minutes over your time. Dude, where is this at? Oh, here it is. June 12th.
Oh, okay.
So we're doing about 45 days out.
So nothing in May.
Nothing in May. We're going to try to space them out just a little bit because, you know, it's a little harder to sell tickets in the summer, build up a little bit of anticipation. But June 12th will be the next one. And if you want tickets to that, this is, I would like, get a hold of them now because a company is doing like their outing at our event.
Oh.
And I think they're buying a huge chunk, like 2/3 of the tickets or something like that for this one. So, which is why we had to pick a certain date because they had to make sure they were available.
We have some HR people that are going to be sitting there uncomfortable.
Oh, yeah. Just a bunch of Tobys.
Yeah.
And I know for sure Tony Bowers is on that one.
All right.
Because he wasn't Bowers. Able to make it to last one because his kids were hitting each other in the face with baseball bats.
Sort of baseball bat incident.
And Tony's very fucking funny. So,
oh shit, I forgot to shout out. I want to say his name is Corey. Dude, I am sorry if I'm getting your name wrong, but out at Unplugged Brewery in Elyria, I did that show. And the one manager there comes up to me and was the first person that I've never met before to be like, dude, I fucking love Pound Town. Big fan. Hell so yeah. Happy to have you here. I was like, dude, thank you. Like Will and the other guys like Clock and Nick, who used to be on the show, like they would always be like, yeah, people were stopping me at the gas station. I see people downtown talking about how much they love the pod. And I'm like, I've never had a single person.
You also don't get out and about
much. I don't know. I mean, I do comedy.
That's very
true. I'm doing shows.
That is true.
Not one person ever after a hilarity show has been like, Pound Town. Not one time.
I also think there might be something to a grown man not wanting to yell the words Pound Town at another grown man.
That's no, the Cleveland should be fine with saying Pound Town. We're that kind of city.
We're the ones who get, I do feel uncomfortable every time somebody asks me about the pod on the road because it's a long way to get to what the actual joke is. You know, the
I just say Pound Town and laugh. About
highbrow stuff.
It's yeah, highbrow I don't care. Nothing about me says highbrow stuff.
That's true.
Yeah.
By the way, speaking of Jason Lawhead, I did a 48-hour fast.
Did you?
I did. I did my first 48-hour fast last week, it's Monday night through Wednesday night.
Long fucking time.
I'll tell you, besides about 90 minutes on Tuesday night, wasn't hard. That 90 minutes on Tuesday night, I thought I was delirious, could not focus on anything, and couldn't even think. I was like talking to people, and I just couldn't even like, they say like brain fog. But the next day, that's maybe the most focus I've felt in years.
Damn.
Locked in. And then it got to dinner time because I did it while I was traveling.
Uh-huh.
So technically I was in California. It was 5 p.m., but it was still hit the 48 hours. And I was at my grandma's house. I got to see my grandma and aunt, which was really cool. And she made a lasagna. And I was like, dude, I could like legit not eat right now. But the second that lasagna hit my lips, I fucking smashed.
Oh, yeah.
Hulk smashed.
Your grandma made lasagna. You think you're going to sit there and not eat it?
Oh, it was so good, dude. I tried to eat a bunch of salad so I wouldn't eat a ton of lasagna. I just ended up eating a ton of salad and a ton of lasagna.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
It's so fucking good. Lasagna in California is a very odd mix, but it's fine. I had a bunch of good tacos, too. Yeah. So.
As long as a grandma's making it.
Yeah. It was really, really good. And then I had In-N-Out. Have you had In-N-Out before?
I have had In-N-Out before. The fries are whatever. The burgers were delicious. Yes. They're not the best I've ever had, but like it was good.
Very good. They're the claim to fame for In-N-Out. This is what I try to tell people. I'm like, temper your expectations, but how good that burger is, it will always be that good every time you go there. You'll never get a bad burger.
Yeah.
The fries are just fine. They're whatever.
Yeah. I did not think very highly of the fries at all, but like I got the animal style.
Fuck
no
yeah.
Bun. It was great.
Yeah. It's really, really good shit. So I was able to do that. I took my grandma out for burgers on Sunday. That was
what cool. A burger really disappointed me with the no bun situation.
Yeah.
I got, you know, no bun burger and this was dry and garbage.
Have you ever had Fat Burger?
Yes.
Fat Burger fucks.
Back when I could have a full in bun burger, I had Fat Burger. That was delicious. There used to be some around here.
Yeah.
There was one in North Olmsted.
That sucks for you because a big part of a good burger is a good bun.
I know.
So
it
like
is what it is.
That you can't get too creative.
No.
With everything
fast
else.
Fast food, it is tough to do, but like at a restaurant, that is one of the most common things I'll order unless we're at like a nice restaurant.
Yeah.
Is a burger with no bun, and typically it's delicious.
Do you get anything on it? Like any like mushrooms and onions or anything like that? Some people
I don't like mushrooms. Onions, bacon. If you got a fried egg, let's do a fried egg. I'll go nuts on toppings for sure.
I like that. Have you ever had, I don't know if you're allowed to have this, you ever had a burger with peanut butter on it?
Yes, a long time ago. Bearden's. Bearden's has been doing that for a long, long time.
And I was, the first time I did it, I'm like, this is going to be gross. Delicious. Did you like it?
Oh, yeah, it was good.
So good.
You know what I think is the most underrated burger in Cleveland is the Roman Burger and Mr. Hero in general.
I haven't had one in over a decade.
We don't have that pride around Mr. Hero, even though, like, it's our thing.
Yeah. If you want,
every time you walk into one, you're like, oh man, these people seem like they're sweating into the food.
Yeah. It definitely feels like everything you order has ash and sweat.
It doesn't seem like they should be passing inspections, but like it's that good that I never cared.
If you like anybody out there loves Roman Burgers and wants a crazy elite level one, I don't know if it still have it because it's a special. Crowley's, which is now on the east side right by the Lake County Captain Stadium. They now have a location in Kirtland and one in Painesville too. They do these burger specials because their whole thing is smash burgers. Uh-huh. They did. It was called The Last Italian Hero, and it was basically just a Roman burger. Dude, it was the best burger I've ever had in my life.
I had something similar at the Forest City Shuffleboard Club.
The great food there, man.
Holy shit.
Great fucking food there.
Phenomenal. They had like a Roman burger type deal and I got it with no bun. It was amazing.
Oh, so good. That is. And what's really funny is people are like, good food at the Shuffleboard place. I'm like, dude, go try it. Everything was delicious
there. Yes. They have gluten-free beers there. I love that place.
Yeah. It's really, really good. That's a fun spot too.
Yes, it is.
All right. You got
a ride story. This one's pretty disturbing.
Fuck yeah. I like it.
It's going to send shivers down your spine.
Was there anything else you want to talk about? I don't have this. By the way, this is a great time. Sports time of the year. Like, I'm even tuning into hockey playoff games. I'm like, this is all awesome.
Yeah, this is a fantastic time
of year. Especially
when
your baseball team is red hot and this is all going on.
Yeah.
It sucks the Cavs aren't playing that great, but there's still great games happening all the time.
I hate seeing Kyrie succeed, but it was very funny to watch the Suns get fucking stomped.
Yeah.
With all of their stars still out there. Yep. So go fuck yourselves. I hate Kevin Durant. I don't know what else NBA playoffs-wise.
I mean, the Bucks are in trouble.
Yeah.
The Bucks are in big trouble.
But they're without Giannis, so it's...
Yeah, and was over Dame Lillard in the last game, too.
Oh, I didn't really even realize that.
Yeah, he sat as well. So, I mean, they're down 3-1 to an Indiana team that everybody said was an embarrassment after the first game because they got ran off the fucking floor. But Halliburton and those boys are a problem, and...
That's a team with heart that gets run off the floor and then comes back hard. That's just what the Cavs aren't doing.
And Pascal Siakam might be the MVP of the NBA playoffs right now. He's fucking phenomenal, yeah.
I have not watched any of that series yet.
I mean, every game has been a kind of a blowout. So besides that, there was a one-game winner game, but other than that, everything's been pretty much a blowout. So, all right, anyway. Disturb me, please.
So, I, an 18-year-old male, was flossing my teeth yesterday night and realized something. My front teeth are quite long. Based on the ratio compared to the ones next to them and my lips, and make my bottom teeth basically invisible when I smile. Low-key like a horse. My bite is good and my teeth are straight, so I figured all that I needed to happen was to shorten them. A Google search revealed that it costs around $50 to $300 each tooth to get them filed down a little. I figured I could probably just do that myself. I have pretty bad insomnia and got maybe 8 hours of sleep the entire week so far, so maybe I'm not in my best state of mind, but I needed to magically become vaguely more good-looking, so on a search for a nail filer, I went. I found one of those metal ones in the bathroom. I tested it on a fingernail. It works. So I aligned it with my front teeth both at once because I didn't want to be uneven, and I just started going back and forth, I guess.
Oh my God.
Successfully shaved off a bit. It was going really well. And already looking better, but I still wanted them a tiny bit shorter. Might have gotten a bit carried away. I filed off a tad more, and then my right tooth felt like it got struck by lightning. Super intense, weird zapping pain. I was super freaked out and went to take a close look. No blood or anything. Noticed my teeth are the perfect length and a nice square shape now. But then I went and rinsed my mouth with lukewarm water, the exact same sensation. Did I fuck up a nerve or something? I try to ignore it. But even just licking my teeth with my tongue causes a shooting/throbbing feeling in one of them. So fucking disgusting. Even worse when I touch it with my finger or whatever. I've never had a cavity or any dental work done, so I'm not 100% sure whether this is normal and will just go away on its own. I can't tell anything is unusual on the outside, so it probably will. Not sure what I did wrong because dentists probably do the same thing. Going to try and brush them now. I didn't this morning. See if that improves it. And then the first update. No, I literally can't. This shit is so bad, not even exaggerating, like actual electric shots or something. Just existing with my mouth closed already aches. Learning a lot about teeth today. We'll see a dentist as soon as I can. Update 2. Been a few hours. Like a few people suggested, I called a dental school close to me. It's a smallish facility, and they said they don't do acute stuff. They can fix this shit, but not within 2 weeks. I don't know if I should wait that long because it... Just breathing through my mouth is unironically like the worst fucking pain I've ever felt, but I can't really afford to see an actual emergency dentist, so let's hope someone close to me does financial plans or something. And at three, picked up that Sensodyne stuff people recommended. Even touching my teeth is agonizing. So putting it on sucks so much, but it stings. But hopefully that'll work. Have to work a short shift now. Very conflicted on what to do. Next update. Just a little update. Probably I called my dad. I don't even live with him. And asked him to make an appointment with a dentist because my front teeth really hurt. Didn't elaborate on why, because I'm taking this to the grave. They can't see me until Monday morning. Probably going to be cheaper than an emergency visit, but I am not looking forward to the feeling of my body taking a screenshot every time my tongue or the air touches my teeth for another 3.5 days, to be honest. Popping ibuprofen every hour, but it doesn't really do shit. Next time I get a potentially dumb idea, I'll just think about it for a few hours before executing, I guess. Fuck. Final edit is Thursday now. Had my dentist appointment on Monday. For the people that were concerned slash curious, got my shit fixed. Everything's all right-ish now. He initially recommended crowns, but I can't afford those. The multiple appointments those require, so he just filled my teeth back up. Had to scrape off a bunch of gunk first, but felt like a medieval torture method. But after that, he rebuilt them, and breathing was no longer excruciating.
Good God.
Except now they're literally the same length I started off with again.
That's so good.
Plus a high risk of straight up breaking off the fillings. And they're still kind of sensitive, which the dentist warned me about. I'm down close to a grand, which might become more in a few years. Who knows? What a fucking idiot.
First of all, beauty is pain, you pussy.
Oh, my God.
These people are just roaming the earth. They're everywhere. These people, some of them run things. And they're in government and shit. These idiots.
I know people say that they cringe a lot and that it's overused these days, but this, I cringe at the thought, physically cringe at the thought of a metal nail file repeatedly going against your fucking teeth.
Why would you think that that's just how it's done?
Yeah, the dentist probably do it the same way. Yeah. What is this, 1895? Big fucking mid nail file going against your teeth? No, they've got actual fucking equipment.
So I have like the least sensitive teeth on earth. I could take ice cream and just stick my front teeth in it. Doesn't bother me at all. I don't get brain freezes, which apparently is attached to the sensitivity
of
my teeth.
You have the ice cream version of no gag reflex.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I'm a little dairy whore.
Yeah, you could deep throat a whole fucking 3-scoop cone.
So most things don't bother me. That made me almost crawl out of my skin thinking about it. That's crazy. Crazy.
Oh, my God. Ugh. You're right. These people are walking the earth.
They're everywhere. They're everywhere. We all know a couple of them.
Yeah.
And you know who they are.
Yeah.
You know, there's somebody you're like, I know somebody who would probably try to pull some shit like that.
Sarah's gotten stoned and like really mentally focused on how crazy it is that, you know, we've probably been in the room with murderers and like statistically speaking, how many murderers have you crossed path with and had conversations with?
Oh, yeah.
Like, I want to know how many people would actually file down their fucking teeth that I've been around.
It's so awesome that they ended up the same fucking size they were in the beginning.
It's that's so funny.
Oh, man. Look, being vain, we said this about plastic surgery, being vain is for the rich, and even they don't end up looking that good.
No, they all look, most of them look ridiculous.
Yeah. Look, veneers, fine. If you want to get veneers, everybody can tell you have veneers. It's not the worst thing in the world, I guess, but we all know. We all know you have veneers.
Yeah.
No one's teeth are that big and white at that age.
Yes.
So fine, whatever. You want to do that, no big deal. But you start stretching your face out with veneers and all this other shit, just know we know.
We know, and most of us are laughing at you.
Yes, 100%. You always look terrified.
Yes.
You look like a mouse ran through the room at all times.
Yes. Yeah, my dad had to have some stuff done, and he was very, very concerned. He just kept telling the dentist, don't give me that super white shit. You make it look natural, please. He was very concerned about that.
Yeah, because you look like an asshole.
Yeah.
I had an old boss who was the owner of the company, and I actually wrote a blog about this on Barstool. It did very well. And it was almost the entire thing was making fun of his stupid ass giant fluorescent veneers.
Uh-huh.
God, they were so annoying.
Oh, I'll tell you, my favorite people, and you know, I got a buddy who's got a family member, and I'll see posts with this family member on social media. And he's one of those guys that's a little bit older, sun worshiper, tan.
Oh,
so tan, super white hair, super white teeth. He is the funniest person on social media. I get such a kick out of every picture with him. It's so fun.
Just looking like he's in blackface at all times. A friend's mother-in-law, I think she's addicted to tanning. She looks like a catcher's mitt. I mean, it is not a good look.
Those sun worshippers, man.
It's crazy.
Leather.
When you said sun worshiper, I thought you were going to be like one of those people who suns their butthole.
No.
Those people are funny.
Yeah.
What's that called? That's got to be called something.
I can't remember. There is a name for it. I don't know if that's real, though.
Yeah.
I thought that that was a joke thing.
No, I think that's a thing. I think the meme that was going on was a joke thing, but the sun of your butthole thing, I think, is real.
That just doesn't seem like a place that needs sun.
It's
literally where the sun don't shine.
We could just end right there. I think there we go. I think that's good. All right. We'll talk to you guys next week. See you.